All right, a couple of weeks ago we started talking about the distinctions of the Acts 2 church and the church, the body of Christ, and we even touched base on how a lot of people have the idea that even grace believers, there are a lot that believe the church started in Acts 2. Schofield's notes, even if you look at Schofield's notes, that is the one thing that I believe he differs than the rest of grace. So it's interesting, if you read Schofield's notes, a lot of his notes really deal, are dead on with the dispensation of grace until it comes to the Acts 2 church, where many believe that's when the new church started. Of course, we've talked over the last few weeks that how in the world can a new church start when nothing is different than from the church, the Jewish church that was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? How can you classify that as a new church? Well, you can't. How can you classify it as the same church as the Apostle Paul had? You can't, because Paul, as we read last week, laid the foundation. Well, if he laid the foundation on how men need to heed, how they build thereupon, that means from there on out, being that we also read he is the pattern, that in him first also have life everlasting, which is 1 Timothy 1:16. What in the world goes on with all these that have done all those works, and what rewards would they have? Because the foundation hadn't been laid. Well, that's where you see the difference. Just as though there's two gospels that we see, the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God, you also see two different manifestations of churches that fit those two distinct gospels. And that's what we see, is if you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the things that John the Baptist preached, the things that Christ preached while he was on earth, walking the earth, sharing the directions and about the kingdom of the things that needed to take place. It says in Romans 15 verse 8 that Christ was there to what? To fulfill the promises of the fathers. Right? And it was distinctly to set this kingdom up that continues to go all the way through Acts 1 through 8. And then, of course, we know that Paul's saved, and we know that there's a different church. So we started looking at the differences in these churches over the last couple of weeks and how they're absolutely different than today. But yet, still, in buildings all over the place, there are places where men are standing behind pulpits, teachers are in rooms teaching about how this is all one church or one gospel, and none of them follow it just like they say that they believe. Because there's many denominations, of course we know, that started by man. There's not a denomination that has not been started by man. You can follow almost every one of them that named the name of Christ to the Roman Catholic Church, and they don't even know the history of that being true. And so therefore you have denominations that speak in tongues, you have denominations that sprinkle, you have denominations that dunk, you have denominations that take the Lord's Supper every week, you have denominations that believe if you're not baptized, you have just a conglomerate of denomination upon denomination of how man says that this is what I think needs to be, and there's thousands that go every week to follow that denomination. And 9 times out of 10, if you ask them where they go to church, they'll tell you where they go to church, and they'll tell you, I'm of this, or I'm of this, or I'm of this. And the issue is for the church, the body of Christ, is, are you a believer in the grace of God and what He did at the cross? And so all these denominations that started by man that I was involved with for 30 years minimum, okay, have taken on bits and pieces of what they like about their denomination. Well, the Word says in Galatians, if you're going to follow part of the law, you've got to follow all of the law. But that doesn't ever happen for some reason. So what's it going to be? Well, the difference is you can't fulfill this by the way Israel couldn't fulfill it. What makes you think that we can carry out that message if they couldn't carry out that message? They couldn't. Instead, because of what Christ did on the cross, this mystery was given to Paul, and this church here is a Jewish church, and the church here is the church, the body of Christ. One is physical. All these things that are the conditions that had to be met, one is spiritual. The conditions already met. by what Christ did. And so we're going to look at the differences in the Jewish church and the body when we get through tonight. But a few things that we read last week that I just want to touch on before we carry on so we know. The first one, I had to write it down, I can't remember how I see things. We saw, of course, we read last week in Acts 3:19, what you had is you had repent, that your sins may be blotted out. When? The times of refreshing. Right? Well, and then we also see that with us, if you go to 1 Corinthians, with Paul, you see 1 Timothy 1:16, that he was the pattern that in him first. The issue is that our sins are forgiven. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4 talk about how he died for our sins. Was dead, buried, and resurrected according to the Scripture. And then he rose again for our salvation. Paul says that's how we're to believe in verse 1 and 2. And so there's a difference. Their sins will be forgiven at the times of refreshing. Our sins are forgiven as of right now. You also see that we read last week about what they asked for in Acts 1:6. What did they ask for? In Acts 1:6, would the kingdom be restored? What did they say? Again. That means that kingdom had already been set up once, right? That was the throne of David that Christ is going to sit on when he comes. And so for this Jewish church, they repented. Peter says to repent, that your sins may be blotted out at the times of refreshing. He also, they asked, all the disciples asked, will you restore your kingdom again? That means it's something that had already taken place before that was to be restored. It was nothing new at all. And that's what they waited for, right? If you go to, if you'll notice in 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul says that he was a pattern. But I'll tell you what, go to 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Just touching on a few scriptures that make this totally different that we talked about. And then we'll get a little bit more deeper into the Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, I'm in the wrong place. That was on half grace. Yeah, sorry about that. Something else. Well, I just lost the place where the foundation. Yeah. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:10. Look what the Apostle Paul writes. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Well, if this kingdom was to be restored again, then it wasn't the foundation that was given to Paul, was it? Because he laid the foundation from whence it started. So the churches are absolutely different. Those in Acts chapter 2 is a Jewish church with Jewish people, with Jewish roots, and the only thing that would be different at all if it was Gentile, it was because they became, or they went that through Israel, and they became that as of Israel, taking on the commandments exactly what Israel were to do. And so it's a much different as in today, those that were Jews that believed Jesus wasn't the Messiah, Paul had a desire for them to be saved. Now, they could not be saved again by picking up Jewish roots. In fact, they were counted as heathen, and they were counted as uncircumcised. They were counted just like as the Gentiles who would believe. And that's why Peter told them to go, read Paul's epistles. I mean, it was clear they needed to in 2 Peter. to keep going, I'll tell you what, so we'll just get started and carry a few more things out so we can see some differences. Let's see here. I'm going to start in 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. If you'll turn there. Last week, we talked about Pentecost, and we were in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, how the Holy Spirit came upon them, that they had they could speak other languages, and that all these things were going, and that they were filled. There was an experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they spoke in other languages. They were supernaturally given the gift of what to say. They were told what to say, and they said it in another language. And we notice in Acts 2, while you're where you're at in 2 Timothy 3:16, look at a few, let me show you a few things that we read last week and just stay right there. In Acts 2:1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Okay? So, this church, this Jewish church, were filled. They were experiencing a baptism of the Holy Ghost. They spoke in other languages. They were supernaturally given this gift of what to say. And it reminds you, I tell you what, just go there. It reminds me in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Go to 1 John 2:20. Hold your place and go to 1 John 2:27. And I just want to show you a difference in this Jewish church. In Acts 2, had the word been fulfilled? Was it complete? No. No. They knew things in part still, right? And they knew nothing of Paul. Well, why not? Because he hadn't even been saved yet. This was a mystery. Okay? And in 1 John 2:27, it says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." At this Pentecost, when this Holy Spirit came upon these people, and they were with cloven tongues and gave them words to say, this is a picture of what's going to take place in the times of refreshing. Well, when Israel is part of this kingdom, when they become and they are resurrected, and the word is hid in their heart, will they need any man teach them? No. They'll have the word hid in their heart. They'll be as Christ. Okay? And this is a picture of what takes place in Acts 2. If all of Israel would have believed, what would have happened? The kingdom would have been set up. Okay? And so, Christ had been crucified. All of Israel didn't believe. Okay? Because there was something new that was going to be unfolded that these guys never knew. But at this point, they were given these things to say and to share. And they were pricked in their hearts. We'll read that in a minute. They said, "What must we do?" And Peter will say, "All of Israel must repent and be baptized." He's not teaching the word to them. They knew the word. The Holy Spirit came upon them. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, did you ever notice the Holy Spirit didn't seal them? He didn't come inside of them? Anytime something miraculous took place, what would happen? The Holy Spirit would come upon them. Okay? With the church today, when we're saved, we become that church. We become that being. And so the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And that's what was going on here, and that's what you see. Many people claim to have this today. We talked about it last week. They claim to have an anointing or a revelation apart from God's Word. That's what they believe. They believe they can go home and go to bed and have a dream and think they can figure out this interpretation because somebody might say something to them and they think, "Oh, That's what it is. And I talked about last week how crazy I was. I would walk across the street, and if there was something I wanted bad enough, and I felt like God was moving in a mighty way, I could say, well, this will happen, God, if that bird will fly from here to there, and y'all laugh. I mean, but that's how we get when we think that we're in this kingdom time that's coming upon us. And that's not how it is at all. But people claim that today. And if it's true, then how do we know who we would believe? Anybody could say that. You know, but these people were anointed. Another says, follow me. Well, how do you base it? Well, in the Old Testament church, this was okay. It's not today, because the Word's complete today. In the Old Testament church, if you go to Luke chapter 12, look at verse 11. Look what was shared here. See, when the Word would be hidden in their heart and they need no man to teach them, when somebody says something, you know what? They're going to know whether it's true or not. They're going to know the truth. But today, we don't have the Word hidden in our heart. So if we trusted just what anybody said, we wouldn't know whether they're telling the truth or not. These will know. They will not. And a perfect example is in Luke chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. You know, I mentioned the other week, one thing that, and I mean, I don't know if any of y'all saw The Passion. If they got anything right in that movie, the one thing they got right that I loved is they portrayed when Christ was there and they were rebuking Him or spitting upon Him or whatever, it always showed Him praying. It always showed Him just somber. And that's a neat picture of this. I thought whenever they portrayed this, they portrayed that right. I could see that. Don't know if that's how it was, but I could just see that because he always watched what the Father was doing, right? And so he had a relationship with the Father while all this was going on. Well, that's the same picture. He says, don't take any thought. You know, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Back in times past, the Holy Spirit would speak through them, okay? But today, this is not the way we can live, or we're going to have falsehood everywhere. Every wind of doctrine, okay? The Holy Spirit will say nothing contrary to the Word. And that's why we have 2 Timothy 3:16. The Word of God says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So today our doctrine comes totally different. You'll never see that written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll never see it told that they need to read the Word in Acts chapter 1 through 7 because the Word wasn't complete and the Holy Spirit would speak through them. But today when somebody tells you, you know, I need to talk to you, Paul. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. You need to walk away. I mean, the basic thing is when we have a question about our doctrine or being reproved, we can say easily, you know, the Word says this. Because that's where we're truly furnished. That's where it's profitable. And I can't tell you all my life how many times I've heard somebody say, you know, God just spoke to me about you last night. Well, why didn't God speak to you about you last night? You know, but it becomes so sincere and so emotional and so caring. And you know what we love? Emotionalism, caring. It must, you know, just their heart breaks. And I mean, people get caught up in that stuff. And so, you know, it just really messes us up. When somebody tells you that God told them to do something, that it better be by the Word and fit with you too. Because everything you need to know is in the Word of God. Everything. Okay? It is the same for all. It is a completed revelation. It is profitable. To be thoroughly furnished means pretty much you need nothing else. To be thoroughly furnished means if you fill your house up with the furnishings you want, and all of a sudden everybody starts walking in with more furniture, Just because it's nice don't mean you need it. We're thoroughly furnished. I don't care if anything else sounds better, looks more reasonable. Was, wow, that had to happen of God. If it's something that you think is just, you know, wild how that happens or whatever, it doesn't matter. We're thoroughly furnished by the Word. There is no need for this still small voice. Y'all ever heard that comment? I just heard this still small voice. Well, let me tell you what. Everything you hear is in the Word. And if you hear a still small voice, chances are it's yourself. Okay? It's you talking to yourself. Unless somebody's whispering to you. Okay? There's no still small voice if the Word is truly furnished. And it's profitable. And it's what we need. There's no necessity for it. Okay? God will not speak to you apart from His Word. Or this is a lie. If He says we're truly furnished, we're furnished. We don't need anything else. Okay? If it's contrary or not, if it's not in the Word, then it's chances are God's not in it. It's God's will that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay? The expectation of the early church was about a kingdom. Okay? Our expectation is what? We look forward to being taken out of here. Okay? So the churches are totally different with totally different gospels. Okay? The early church was empowering. It was an anointing. Okay? It taught them and directed them exactly what to do and what to say. Today we have the completed written Word of God that instructs us what to say. If I speak things that are not of the Word of God, chances are they're not going to be profitable. Okay? Let's also notice the message that was preached tonight. I want you to see the difference in the message alone. Go to Acts 2.32. Acts 2.32. I want you to see the message that was preached. In Acts 2.32, Peter says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed for this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Okay? So we see here, what did Peter preach? A murder indictment. This same Jesus that you killed, okay, that you crucified, Peter preached a murder indictment. Now, the way I know Christ is that He gave a ransom for all. There was no that I killed Him. Jesus instead died for our sins. Peter says, you killed Him. Okay? We also know according to Scriptures, Christ went how? Willingly. Right? He freely gave Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. The gospel today is not repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Okay? And in Acts chapter 1 through 7, it has nothing to do with the body of Christ. Many people think the church started in Acts 2, and they still don't live it through. Many hold on to a lot of things, is what they hold on to. The issue of sin is even different. You'll notice Peter preached a murder indictment. You killed him. You killed him. You killed him. What must we do? All of Israel is. Paul says he died for you. He died for you. It's totally different. So not only are the churches different, but also the message is different. Also, the issue of sin is different. Go to Acts 3:18. And look at the differences in the church. In Acts 3:18, it says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets, that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now I know we just read that, but if you'll notice, there were things that they knew Christ was going to die. They knew it had been prophesied. But you notice one thing you don't see there is that their sins are going to be forgiven. Do you? You don't see where He died for their sins. In fact, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." So the issue of repentance and baptism was for what? To show what you believe in front of the congregation? No. It was for remissions of sins. You were baptized, okay, for remission. It went today when people baptize or sprinkle whatever, it's to show the church, what was it? An inward faith by an outward expression of what? No, it's, Peter says plainly, to repent and be baptized, okay, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. That's what it was for. Well, if you go to Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 8 at what Paul says.
They had to be baptized because they were going to be a kingdom of priests.
Absolutely. They had to follow the fulfillment of the law, what had to take place. In Romans 5:8, the Apostle Paul says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You don't see Peter preach that. "Much more then, being now justified by His blood," you don't see Peter preaching that, "we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." You don't read any of that in Acts 3:19. He says, "Repent and be baptized that your sins may be blotted out at the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord." Paul says, that atonement, you're forgiven. Sin's not the issue. Sin was the issue with the early church, with the Jewish church. Correct? So we know that. We're already forgiven. We're not looking forward to it. They're looking forward to it.
You go Peter. Back to almost from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and there is no forgiveness of sin.
None.
Because He said the blood and of bulls and goats cannot take away sin.
Absolutely.
This is the 12 repeats repentance and water baptism for a future salvation.
Absolutely. The issue was that this church always looked forward to something. Well, what did they look forward to? They looked forward to this kingdom being restored. They looked forward to this kingdom so they could be a kingdom of priests, to be the salt of the earth. And there were conditions they had to meet to look forward to these things, and there were things they had to do. They had to repent. They had to be baptized. They had to be circumcised. They had to follow the law of Moses. They had to forsake all. They had to sell all that they had. Right? That's what they had to do. We don't do anything to look forward to anything. We trust in what Christ did, and we're forgiven, and we become part of the body of Christ, which is the church today, because sins are forgiven. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 2 again, and look at verse 44. We're going to look at a few scriptures on through Acts, and I want you to see how this early church that people call it, they call it the New Testament church, which we're not New Testament at all. Okay? And by the way, this church here was a Jewish church, and had nothing to do with us, and we'll look at it and see. Now, I love the people that call it a New Testament church, and I want you to see how many of you know do all these things. Acts 2:44, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. That means everybody was equal. Okay? That means if I walked in here, I had no more value of anything than you had. We all had things together. Okay? Now, it says, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Now, I don't know about you, but this is daily. This isn't Sunday and Wednesday. It's not Saturday. It's daily. Why? That's where everything was stored. The way they got anything was to go to the temple. That's the only way they could have food or a living or clothes or shelter or whatever. They had all things that they had. Communal living is what they had. They were all together in one accord. They sold all their land, all their stuff, and they turned it in. Why? They didn't need it. The king was coming. The kingdom was going to be set up. They're going to be a kingdom. They had no need for that stuff. They thought, this is it. Think about it. They thought, here's Pentecost. All these miracles, all these wonders going on. What must we do? This kingdom's going to be set up. No problem now. We can sell it all because Christ is about to set that kingdom up and we're going to reign. Hey, they were excited, buddy. That's a big thing. Now, look at it. And they continuing daily in verse 46, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those that were going to be saved, they better go. They better do these things. And those people such that did what they were supposed to do, through their faith, showed works of righteousness. Okay? Now, how many churches take communion every day? They did. Some churches do it every Sunday. It's a beautiful thing. It's not necessary. Okay? They did it every single day. Now everybody tells you they're a church of today. This church is the same in Acts chapter 2. Why don't they do those things? Why don't they sell everything they have? They won't. I guarantee you they won't. Well, what's their answer? You either believe all the Bible or none of the Bible. You believe the Bible is the authority of God? You know what man did? He says, well, I'm going to make this easy. Well, I think God would have us do it this way. But once man thinks what God would have them do it, it's gone. It's worthless. These people had communal living. The only place I know that has communal living around here today that I just am familiar with is the Yellow Deli. And they make a good sandwich. Okay? They put all their stuff together. They all live together. And they make good food. But other than that, they're as lost as they can be because they're not following the same Jesus. It doesn't work out. Okay? But if you want a good sandwich, there you go. It's different. They got a good sandwich. Other than that, that's your communal living. Why don't other churches do that? Because they can't. There's no way. Tell the man behind the pulpit in the mega church to sell everything he has. He ain't going to do it. Ain't no way. He's going to tell you owe him a double blessing. That's what he's going to tell you. I mean, honestly, that's what he's going to do.
He's on a $30 million airplane.
Tell the people that come in that help, that give because they just do. Tell them that ain't enough. Sell everything you have. That's what they did. They believe they're the Acts 2 church. You know, the Apostle Paul would rebuke those who would not work or take care of their own affairs. Wouldn't he? Remember what he says? Worse than an infidel if you don't work. He says don't eat. He don't deserve to eat. Something must be different here. Because the way I see it, they had all things in common. Paul says he's worse than an infidel. That if a man can't work, he shouldn't eat. Something's different. Go to Acts chapter 4.
Acts chapter 4, verse 32. In Acts 4:32, the word says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common." So when you give them Acts 2 and you say, "Well, I know that's what it says, but it doesn't really mean that," take them to Acts 4. Because it means exactly that. Right? Best example I can give you, go to the next chapter. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. In chapter 5, verse 1, we have the story here. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias, and with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that had heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." You don't think they had? You think they had a problem giving up all they had? You ain't thinking, because judgment was immediate. See, in a physical, earthly kingdom, God's judgment will be immediate. It will come. Okay, we are not judged today by the wrath of God. Why? Because His Son has forgiven us our sins. The blood has covered everything that we deserve. He has paid. He is a ransom. Okay? The issue with them, with this kingdom, is there would be judgment. Judgment was instant. Stephen was also martyred, right? What did they expect? They would stone Stephen, right? Because they were used to doing those things. That's what went on then. God isn't doing this today because of disobedience, is He? If God was judging people by disobedience today, okay, then what do you think would happen? There'd be a lot less. We would hear about it every day, wouldn't we? Absolutely. But we're in a period of God's grace. It is exercised today. If not, there would be a lot more dead people, probably including myself. Okay? Acts 2, 3, 4, and 5 was a church looking for a kingdom to come. They had supernatural powers. Right? The Holy Ghost spoke through them. They followed the commandments. And when they did it, there was judgment. They had a spirit of fear. They were to fear the Lord. Doesn't Paul say we're not given the spirit of fear? Another difference in the church. This will happen in the tribulation, and it's going to happen in the coming kingdom. Okay? You would think then that when we read this, we would see this difference. But people read this every day and they mix it all up. One other thing. Acts 3:14 again. Take notice. In Acts 3:14, we read this a while ago, but there's one thing I missed. He says, "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And His name through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, what needed to be done for restoration for Israel? The suffering, okay, had been fulfilled. And so he says now, repent therefore. Okay? Peter says, those that have been known before. When Peter preached that in Acts 3, had it been known before? Prophets had written and told them, Christ will suffer. Christ will die. This has to be fulfilled. And so Peter is doing nothing here but preaching exactly what the prophet said was going to happen. What had been known before. Peter preached nothing new here. He preached what had been known before is all he preached. Nothing new. You don't see the word mystery. You don't see the word dispensation. You don't see the word but now. You don't see anything new at all, because it's the same Jewish church that had the same promises that started all the way back with Abraham. Okay? And that's what you see. Now what does Paul say? Glad you asked. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians 3, 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation, you don't see that word with Peter, he made known unto me the mystery. You don't see that. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known. If you can't read and see that difference, then we need a remedial somewhere. Because that's simple. That is not hard for anybody to see. Peter preached what had been known. Paul preached a mystery of a revelation which was not made known. So Peter couldn't preach what Paul knew, because Peter preached what had been known. Paul didn't preach what Peter preached, because Paul had a mystery and a revelation. It wouldn't have fit with Peter. And so we know that. It was not made known. This program right here was interrupted. And they never had a clue of anything here. And it's going to pick right back up right here. It's simple, because if you read it, you can see it. And I was going to write a lot of this down, but I just don't have all the room. But in saying that, there was one thing that I just made a couple of notes on that I thought would be good. When I just divided the Jewish church and the body of Christ, just easy stuff, if you want to write these verses down. Acts 3:19, repent that your sins may be blotted out. Times of refreshing spoken since the world began. Paul says before the world began is what he knew. Okay? The body of Christ, 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul says he's the pattern in him first. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says he laid the foundation. We better take heed. I'm sorry, 3:10. How men build thereupon. I don't know why I wrote 16. But that's what you see a difference. In Acts 1:6, they asked to restore the kingdom again. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul doesn't say anything again about a kingdom being restored. You know what he says? In a twinkling of an eye, we're out of here. He says, don't fear, those that are resting will be taken out. In Acts chapter 1, when Christ left, what was said? Hey, in the same manner that He left, He'll also come back. So when Christ comes to take the church, that's not His second coming. That's our first going. His second coming deals with Him setting up a kingdom. We ain't going to be there. Okay?
But when He comes back for us, we meet Him in the clouds.
That's right, in the air, in a twinkling of an eye. We're out of here. So it's not His second coming that most churches will tell you. When He comes back that second time, I can hear the country preachers preaching it now. By the way, He ain't coming back that way. Okay? Because Acts says He's going to come back the way He left. Well, He's not going to meet... I mean, we're out of here with Him. In Acts 2, chapter 1 through 4, there was anointing of the Holy Ghost with the Jewish church. He says, need not anyone teach you anything else. You see that in 1 John 2:27 and Luke 2:12, 11, 12. But in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, Scripture gives knowledge, wisdom to be freely furnished. It's two different Gospels, two different churches. In Acts 2:32, Peter preaches a murder indictment. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says we're already forgiven. It's totally different. In Acts 2, 4, and 5, you see judgment, all things in common, sell all that they had, all the things that were needed. And then in Acts 3, 14 through 19, it was everything that had been known before. In Ephesians 3, 1 through 5, it says, not made known. So this Acts 2 church can only be one kind of church, and that's a Jewish church. The biggest example I can give you is every time Paul preaches, he makes comments to ye men of Israel. Come on. Give me a break. Huh?
All you men of Judea, brethren.
Over and over and over again. But yet today, churches, you ask them, you want to get a good discussion going? Ask them when they believe the church, the body of Christ, started. I'm telling you, if they're not a grace believer, they're going to tell you Acts chapter 2. Every time. And there is no Gentile in there. If he's a proselyte, he's just like Israel. And the only thing Acts chapter 2 says was when they come, there were proselytes. If that was a Gentile church, then why in the world were they having a Pentecostal feast? Because those that went to that feast were who?
Jews.
None of that makes sense, does it? So you have two Gospels. One's a kingdom gospel, and one's the gospel of Christ. 12 apostles taught and were showed, okay, in the kingdom gospel and carried it out all the way to Acts chapter 8. And then Paul was saved. And that flock went on away. And they died in their faith. They endured. And that's what they're going to be called to do all the way to the end. Those that are part of that flock. To endure. You know what? We don't have to endure. Christ endured it all on the cross. We just trust in what He did. And know there's no special works for us. For the body.